Wait for it. You waiting for it? Wait for it. Wait for it. Have you heard that saying before? And it's said just like that. Wait for it. Wait for it. So I wrote that down and I was like, where did that come from? Is it a TV commercial? Is it? I've heard it forever. I've heard that. It's just a saying. But I didn't know where I heard it. I started investigating, where'd I hear this from? Of course, I went to Google. That's what we do. We're from a time period where we don't need big libraries. We have them right here. And so I went to Google, and the best thing that I could come up with is that it's a phrase that a sergeant in the military would give a private. When a private was about to jump the gun, anticipating the next order, the sergeant would be, wait a minute, wait for it, wait for it. And see, what this got me to thinking about is, have you ever heard the saying, don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes? Don't shoot until you see the white of their eyes. That's pretty daggum close. Like, I'm here, and I can see the whites of hope eyes. But you go like 10 feet over there. I can't see the white. Don't fire. Wait until you see. So how hard would it be to wait when you feel like you're under attack, under that danger? Don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. Man, they're gonna be on me before I can defend myself. Wait for it. What about the phrase, waiting on the Lord? I'm waiting on the Lord. How you doing? You doing good? Yeah, man, waiting on the Lord. I've heard that. And I was like, you know, I just kind of rolled with it because, yeah, we're all waiting on the Lord. What is he saying? Like, Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah, I'm in with that too. Waiting on the Lord. Are you waiting to die? You know, just waiting on the Lord. And I never really took into consideration what that really meant. Waiting on the Lord. I looked that up, and I found it in Hebrew. And it says, the word wait in Hebrew is, and I'm going to spell it, K-A-W-A. Kawa? Kawa? Which means intertwining. So imagine two ropes being braided together where you can't see where one ends and one begins. This made me think about Miss Sudie. Some of y'all met her. She did a speaker meeting here last month. She's 86 years old, and she does crocheting. And she can do, my goodness, she can make purses. I had a whole bunch of coasters that she made me for Christmas. There's a guy there that she made golf club covers with the actual number on them weaved in there in different colors. And you can't see where one of those threads start and one of them ends. You can look real close and it's a different color, but you can't see where they start and they end. It's pretty funny. She gathers up a group of girls every week, and they get there early before the meeting, and they talk recovery stuff and everything, and she's teaching them all how to do it, you know, and everything, and so we call that Sudie and her hookers. Hookers. Hooking. Okay, all right. Waiting on the Lord to be intertwined, where you can't see where you start and God ends. Are you there? Can you imagine being that intertwined with God that when people see you, they see God? That's what that means. When they see you, they see Jesus. You're intertwined. How do we become intertwined? And you want to write this down. It's be on the inside, right-hand side of your bulletin. Open it up, and uncap your pen. Is that how you say it? All right. To have hope. To wait on the Lord means to have hope. Having faith in Jesus that He hears and answers all your prayers. Having faith that He hears and answers all your prayers. Having hope that when you get down on your knees and you believe what the Bible says, it says that He hears all the prayers of believers. The only people that He doesn't hear a prayer from is if someone's praying and they don't believe in Jesus. So you have hope, you have faith that He hears all those prayers. That's intertwining with God. Waiting on the Lord also means to anticipate, to look ahead to what is coming and believe Jesus will answer your prayers. You're praying, and you're waiting. And you're anticipating what's coming next. Me and Trina, we used to do this thing where we would see, we're kind of getting attacked. Man, we just got our electricity cut off. God's fixing to do something big. Amen. You know what I mean? In that, and we're anticipating it. We're like, okay, we got to a point where when we saw trouble, we was like, He's about to show up. What is He going to do this time? I mean, it was so crazy because we would go, okay, look, this bill's not getting paid this month. Well, let's go to the mailbox. And we'd go to the mailbox, and there the money would be in the mailbox. God works that way. We anticipate that He's answering all of those prayers. We look ahead and believe that He hears it and answers it. Write this down. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? To trust. Waiting on the Lord means to trust Him. To believe that Jesus is reliable and all-powerful and will answer all your prayers. Amen. That you can count on Him. I sat in a meeting earlier this week where there was some people sharing and we were talking about step two. And this is a common thing about step two. Is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And you hear this all the time. Oh, yes, I believe God has all that power to restore my sanity. But would He? I don't know if He'll do it for me. Maybe I've been too bad. I don't know that He'll do it for me. Jesus is reliable. He's never failed you. There was a young lady one time. I was at another church leading worship, and the pastor of that church came up to me and said, "Hey, I want you to come speak with this woman. I really don't know what to say to her. She's been a prostitute. She's been on drugs, and I don't have experience with that at all." And so I jumped down, and she had four or five little kids with her. And the pastor just told me, said, the main problem I'm having is that she believes that God and Jesus don't love her, that Jesus is not reliable for her. He'd be reliable for everybody else, but not for her because she's done too bad of stuff. She's been horrible. So why would Jesus love her? And so I sat down there with her, and she had five or six of these little kids that were playing, running around. And I told her, I said, "Hey, is there anything that any one of those children could do that cause you not to love them?" I mean, I know me, my children, if they went out and did a horrible crime, maybe they murdered someone, I would still love them. I would still love them because they're my child. She says, no, there's nothing that they could possibly do to cause me not to love them. I said, so you love better than God then? She said, well, okay. I said, so you have that kind of love for your own children, but you don't think God can love you that way. And it opened up. I watched that woman every week come into that church and transform.
Amen.
And it was only just because she realized that she can rely on Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is reliable. We have to trust him. You notice after every time I read one of these statements here, we have to have hope, we have to anticipate, we have to trust. After I read all that, I said, answer all of our prayers. That Jesus will answer all our prayers. That he's all powerful and will answer all our prayers. All our prayers. Yes, no. And wait. Wait. So how do we tell the difference between no and wait? Anybody?
Waiting.
Right. And I searched the Bible for this answer. I looked, and the Bible doesn't really say there's any way we can tell that God is saying no, that Jesus says, no, I'm not going to help you with that. That's not good for you right now, or that's not ever going to be good for you. I'm not going to allow you to step into that. Or wait. We don't know, but one thing it does say, if you look at Matthew 7 through 11, and if you want to turn there in your Bible, pull your phone out, whatever you want to do there, but you can follow along right here on the screen too. It says, ask God for what you need. So even if we think it's a no, Yeah, because you don't know. It says, ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door opened. If your children ask for bread, which of you would give them a stone? Or if your children ask for a fish, which of you would give them a snake? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask him. So whenever I was reading that, and I've read it several times this week, and every time I got to the part there where it says, even though we are bad, we know how to give our good gifts, give good gifts to children. And I started thinking about our baby Emerson. And this was talking about, you know, giving. Your child's asking for some bread. Are you going to give them a stone? You know, they're asking for some fish to eat. Are you going to give them a snake? And I started thinking about this baby right here. She will eat nonstop. Nonstop. As long as you're putting it in front of her, she's drinking nonstop. Her mother knows how. She needs to eat. She knows that you've already had like 16 ounces. That's a lot, isn't it? You've already had a whole lot of ounces. You need to burp. You need to poop. You need to do something before you can take any more. We're going to have to rock you to sleep for a couple hours. And if she wakes up an hour earlier than she needs to, she'll hold off. You don't need it yet. You don't need it yet. Her mother knows how to give good gifts. I just related that. I understand it now. But here's the thing. I think this should be titled, Ask God for What You Think You Need. Because we don't know. Emerson thinks she needs to eat all the time. Hey, girl, I get it. I think I need to eat all the time. Emerson believes she needs to eat all the time. So it's ask God for what you think you need and then wait. See, here's because in Matthew 6:8, listen to this. It says, your father knows the things you need before you ask him. So why are we even asking? He knows. Why do we have to ask if God already knows what we need? Why does he even want us to ask? I mean, why does he make us wait for it? So why do we need to ask? And I don't think I made a fill in the blank with this, so you might just want to write it down. Why does he want us to ask, and why do we need to ask? And it's because it causes us to have a relationship with him. He knows what we need. He knows the things we need. But he wants us to ask. Or we wouldn't talk to him at all. You know, most of the time, that's what we're doing. And then when we get that thing we need, we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You know, if I could just, I talked about this last time I was up here. If I could just bring myself to start saying thank you before I receive the blessing. Anticipating that it's coming. Being intertwined with God. See, another thing that this does is it shows a strong dependence on God. If you're asking, it's awareness to yourself. I ain't got this. I'm dependent on Jesus. See, the more we ask, the more we are talking to God, the more we are hoping, trusting, and anticipating. But still, why does he make us wait? See, I'm an instant gratification guy. Anybody?
Amen.
I want it, and I want it right now. I don't like the way that I feel. I can change the way I feel in a heartbeat. I know how to do that. Thank God I found different ways. I want what I want. I want it now. So waiting takes discipline. So he's disciplining us too. Maybe he's preparing us for it. See, all my kids didn't get their driver's license until they were 18. Now, I know that might sound kind of funny. I know John the whole time was like, are you kidding me? I said, no, I got mine when I was 16. I totaled two trucks, flipped one over on its side, and had 42 tickets, literally 42 tickets when I met Trina and started dating her. 42. I don't think any one of my kids has a ticket on the record, and if they do, it's maybe just one. They didn't get their license until they were 18. Zach said, I got mine when I was 20. Well, he had to prepare. He had to prepare for it. There were some things that he needed to do before he got it. And they all have to. We all had to do this. We had to go online. Well, no, we didn't go online. Who am I fooling, right? They had to go online and take a test. Get a permit. They had to go and pass a driving test. They had to save some money and buy them a car. You ain't driving mine. I know what, you know, happens to new drivers in cars. So they saved money. When they graduated, they all bought their own car. Yeah, you did. You're driving it right now. Why does God make us wait? Being more prepared to receive the blessing. That's it. We may just need to be more prepared to receive that blessing. I thought about a guy that I went to high school with, and he was, his dad had passed away like senior year, and he got an inheritance. And this was back in 1988, so he got $100,000. He was loaded. The dude went out and bought a new truck. He went out and got some sound equipment. He bought a boat. He bought jet skis. He bought new guitars. He bought trailers to pull the band equipment. And within a year or so, he was flat broke. Flat broke. I don't think he was ready for it. There should have been someone else in his life that was holding that back and helping manage it. He wasn't ready to receive that blessing, and he ended up broke. He didn't put no money down on a house. He didn't buy any land. He didn't have any investments. He wasn't ready for it. And the Bible talks about, in Luke 15, a similar story. Excuse me. Luke 15, 11 through 16. And we probably, if you've been in church at all, you know this is the story of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because the important, what I want to focus on is early in the story. So let me read here. Then Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, give me my share of the property. I don't want to wait for it. I added that part. But that's what that says, right? I don't want to wait for it. I want what's coming to me now. I want that instant gratification. I want what I want, and I want it right now. I don't want to wait for it. Guess what? So the father gave it to him. Do you think that God goes ahead and allows us to have some things? Yep. When we're not ready for it. Maybe to teach us a lesson. Maybe next time we'll be more prepared. I believe that. So the father divided the property between his two sons. Then the younger son gathered up all that was his and traveled far away to another country. There he wasted his money in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a time came where there was no food anywhere in the country, and the son was poor and hungry. So he got a job with one of the citizens there who sent the son into the fields to feed pigs. The son was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. There was nobody there to even help. Again, I made the notes for this thing and sent them to Linda, and then going back and studying this thing, I should have had some more spots for you. If you want to write this down, you can. I'm going to read it slowly. Two things can happen when we don't wait for it. We can run to Jesus. We've messed up. We didn't wait on it. Or we can self-will run riot. That's the two things that can happen if we don't wait for it, if we receive that blessing, if we take that thing we think we need. See, I don't know how old or young this younger brother was, but it seems like he was, just from his actions, probably a young guy, not a whole lot of experience, but it's pretty clear he wasn't ready to receive that blessing. So there's got to be some beauty in this story, right? Because I stopped at a certain point. Later on in the story, it says he came to his senses. I've been there. I've had my face down in that pig slop. I've had my face down in the pig trough. And raised up and said, man, I don't got to live like this. And that's what he did. He says, I'll go home and beg my father for forgiveness and for a job and just be a servant. And his dad welcomed him back and restored him completely. God is reliable. I was trying to think of a time in my life that I received something and I was foolish with it. I was married before Trina. And my dad, before I got married, he said, man, you're young, man. You just got out of high school. And see, my dad knew. I wasn't ready for it. He knew I wasn't ready for it. But I wanted what I wanted. I wanted to do what I wanted to go do, and I did. My mom told me, if you go back out on the road with that band, it'll be the end of your marriage. And I was like, no. We've been together since high school. We're good. It was the end of my marriage. She was right. I didn't wait on it. I wasn't ready. And then I jumped right into another one. And I hadn't learned my lesson yet. I tried to destroy that marriage with drugs, alcohol, and self-will run riot. And I found myself at a turning point. There and how it works, it says we're standing at a turning point, and we can go one way or we can go the other. We can continue to go down the road of self-will, or we can run to Jesus. I came to my senses. I got a redo. Now, everything wasn't fixed immediately, but I've been restored. My family's been restored. I'm still waiting on some stuff. I was waiting on being a granddad, and I got that. But there's still things that God has for me. And there's still things he has for you too. Amen. Anticipate that. Get excited. You don't know what's behind door number two. Right? You don't know what's behind door number two. I had no idea. 17, 18, now 19 years ago. That I would be standing here talking to y'all. This is like, no way, dude, I'm not that guy. God had different plans for me. I just have to wait for it. Okay, so what's the point of all this, right? I'm praying. I'm asking for a blessing. God's not giving it to me. Keep praying. Maybe you're not ready. For I don't know how many months we prayed as a congregation. Lord, prepare me for what is next. Do you know what that means? You're waiting for it. You have to be prepared for what is next. Well, what about if I received that blessing, I didn't wait, I went ahead and took it, and I screwed it up real bad. I've messed up my relationships. I imposed my will on that blessing. I've hurt people. I've got myself in some real trouble. What do? Come to believe that God can restore. Step two, believe He can restore. Believe He's reliable. Trust, hope, pray, become intertwined. Come to your senses. Pray and wait. Step three says, turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Pray and wait. You got to let Him work. One of the things that I mentioned earlier in the week during that meeting where I talked about the young lady who couldn't get over the fact that she didn't believe God was loving her. One of the things I talked about was the fact that most people are like that. Most people believe you've been too bad. Most people believe that I've been so hurtful to God, to my family, and how could he fix my situation? How could he restore my broken marriage? How could he put my family back together? How could he heal broken hearts? Hearts that have been trampled on. Last night, I wasn't even going to say nothing about this, but last night we've had this little dog. We had him for like 13, 14 years. And we took him to the vet last night and had him put down, had him euthanized. You know, I grew up out in the country, man, and we had animals die all the time. That wasn't that big of a deal, you know. But I saw my kids gathered around and holding him as he took his last breath and stuff. That's the kind of love that God has for us. Like, they came from, me and Trina took him over there, and they dropped what they were doing. Jesse ran out of a movie theater. They all dropped what they were doing. Hope and Logan were over at Logan's house and letting them see the baby and all that kind of stuff, and they all come running immediately because they loved that little dog. God loves you that way too. He'll drop what He's doing. He'll come to you. We have our overcomers meetings, and in those meetings, you come to believe that God will restore. So how does He do that? How does He do that? He does it through the people in those meetings. You come in there and you're just broken to pieces, right? And there'll be somebody across the room that says, guess what? Me too. I know. I was broken to pieces too, and He restored me. You want me to show you how He did it? So if you're not taking step three, turning your will and your life over to the care of God, then you're not going to be restored. You can believe all you want that he can do it, but if you're running on your own will, you won't be restored. He uses the people in those rooms, in those circles. That's how God does it. Yes, now you can be, your marriage, your life can be shrapnel. It can be blown to pieces, right? And God has the power just to go. He can put $1 million in your bank account. You could win the lottery, and that would cover all your messed ups, your attorney fees, whatever you got. He could fix it like that. Right? He doesn't choose to do it that way. Through the process of recovery, it prepares us for the next thing in our life. I tell you, in 2004, if I'd have came into the Colony Group AA and went that first week and then met John, and he said, okay, now the next thing you're going to do is you're going to stand up here and preach a sermon. What? It don't work that way. Nope. I was prepared. I didn't even know what I was waiting on. This wasn't my idea. Let God work. Let go. Turn your will and your life over to care of him and let him restore you. He's reliable. Trust him. He's reliable. Y'all join me in the Serenity Church Help Us Lord prayer. I'll say Jesus is Lord. You follow up with Help Us Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church to the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Amen. Join me in the Overcomers meeting.